And PACS, Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential. We'll focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information about PACS, Inc., make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, the code of conduct, how to become a member, how to donate to the organization, how to get involved, learn more about their learning centers. Just hover your mouse over the Learning Center tab, and a couple drop-down boxes will come to you with a whole bunch of resources. Just click on any tab that you want and access those resources. Also, make sure you click on the PACS Inc. store. Once again, the website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Joseph Ward, learn more about my co-host, Patrick Irvin, Shelby Davis, Queen Candace, and Enigma September. And stay tuned because audio and footage from our live podcast that was held this past Saturday will be available soon, so stay tuned for that. Now, today we have a young lady who is a, fashionista. She's a girl with style. She's an entrepreneur. She's a marketing specialist. She is a beacon in her community, and she used all of her traits to make sure that she presents a product to the world that is both fashionable and helpful at the same time. And she's a young lady who I've been wanting to have on this podcast for a while because I enjoy what she brings to the table, and I know I'm going to learn something. So I want all my people who are listening to this podcast and everybody, put your hands together for the one and only Miss Bianca Elibre.
Oh. You got the
welcome,
whole crowd here with me. Thank you. I feel so
trying
special
on,
right now.
Working on my intro game. Make sure I'm trying to get on the road.
I feel you. That was awesome.
Yes, ma'am. Like I said, welcome. It's a pleasure having you here. Like I said, I'm looking forward to learning more about you and how you bring marketing, fashion, beauty, style, writing, and just expressing yourself creatively to the table. So I'm interested in learning more.
For sure. All right. Well, I'm just happy to be here with you today. So thank you so much for having me and asking me to come on your platform. I'm really excited to talk to, you know, everybody that's listening. So hey, y'all.
Yes. So who is Bianca Elibre? What inspired you to become an entrepreneur, and how did you start focusing on marketing and fashion?
Okay, awesome. Well, first and foremost, my last name is pronounced Belab. It's French. A lot of Americans pronounce it Belabre. Throughout my school years, I really didn't, like, you know, correct anybody because it was like everybody said it wrong. It is Belab. I'm Haitian American. So my parents are from Haiti. They came to America, hustled, and did the things, you know, to give us a better life and to basically, you know, just show us a different way of life. And so that's one of the biggest pillars of who I am. The Haitian culture is huge to me, and the independence of that culture, I think, runs through my blood. I just thrive to be so independent, and I thrive to own my own things. And so that's one of the inspirations on why I became an entrepreneur. I was in school. I did, you know, the undergrad, the grad school, and I was good at school. I was good at reading and comprehending, and that's pretty much the pillar of being a good student. And so I did the school thing, and something in me in grad school said, no, you know what, you need to, like, forget everything that you've learned and just go and take a leap of faith. And so that's what I did, and it was just a resounding sound in my mind on what I needed to do and what I had to, who I was supposed to be. Okay. And so ever since then, I started a blog, which he mentioned earlier, A Girl With Style, and that's how I started this whole entrepreneurship journey. It was I started as a blogger, and I just love the entertainment space, and so that's where I thrived. But later on, I figured out that I actually also equally loved marketing, and that's what kind of took me into creating a creative station, which is my marketing agency that I'm building right now. Because of such an increase in entrepreneurship in our community and entrepreneurship among women specifically, I saw that there was a need for an agency where women and creatives could come and basically have a platform where they know they're not getting scammed, but they can get real information, but also get like some cool stuff for like to market their brand and to elevate their name. So that's where Creative Station was birthed.
Okay. So while we're talking about marketing, and that's one of the reasons why I want to have you on here, so I myself can get more understanding of marketing because I'm doing my best to master it. But so my audience, people in my audience who may be on the same path or different paths, but all of us need marketing. So can you, for us, break down what marketing is and why business owners should be marketing?
So marketing is like this big arbitrary word that a lot of people are like kind of scared of, but also like think they're doing, but they may not be doing. So marketing in my eyes, as the person that practices it every day, is storytelling.
Okay.
It's basically the act of informing people of who you are and what you do and why you do it, right? So we learn in school like the who, what, why of the story and, you know, all of these different pillars, and that's basically what you're doing when you're marketing your business. You're taking a product or you're taking a show and you're giving it to your audience, but you also have these different aspects of how you need to explain this show or this product to your audience, and that's where you start telling the stories. Now, the other aspect as far as, like, the different tools, like, that is also a part of marketing, but you use those tools in conjunction to tell your story, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. I never had it put to me like that, and if I have, I might have forgot it, but never thought about it in the aspect of storytelling. Because as you were saying that, I was like, "Hey, I can tell a story." So
yeah,
if
you look at it that way, it's just a little bit easier, and it doesn't seem as scary. Because in every story, there is the component of, like, who is the main character? Like, where did this person, like, you know, just the behind the scenes of who this person is, that's the main character, and that's the founder. And then the story also has the trials and tribulations that you went through. The story has the highlights, you know what I mean? So it's just, like, if you break it down into storytelling, it makes it a little bit easier, and then you understand the process of why we have to go through different things to create content and do all of those things.
So how did that concept of marketing come to you? Because, like I said, everybody sees marketing different. How did you come to view marketing as storytelling from your standpoint?
Well, basically, I started studying marketing because my master's is in public health. And so I entered into a space of marketing without a degree or without, you know, the accolade of, like, I have the degree in marketing or anything like that. So I wanted to make sure that if I entered into something that I knew what I was talking about, right? So I did so much research on marketing, and I basically put myself through different courses, and I still take courses to this day on marketing just because, like, things change and, you know, information shifts. So I studied a lot, but in the end of my studying, most of the conclusions I came to was that okay, well, when I have a brand, I have to tell people, like, not only where they can find the stuff or what they can do to follow me or what they can do to help me, but I also have to compel an audience. I also have to make an audience want to support me, not just selling this thing. And the way that you make people interested in who you are is by talking to them. And it's so simple, right? It's just, you know, when you meet somebody on the street, you talk to them, you have a conversation, right, and you introduce yourself and you tell them who you are. That's the same thing as marketing. Like, you have to tell the people who you are and what you do. And even if you are not trying to be this person in the limelight, but then you have to give them some kind of behind the scenes story of, like, how did this product come about, or, you know, things of that nature. But that's how I came to the conclusion, because every time that I would see, you know, the information about marketing or something that I was studying, it would talk about, you know, these different pillars of marketing. But at the end of the day, it all narrowed down to how you talk to your audience.
Okay. That makes sense. It really does make sense, because now you got me over here excited, like, okay, because I can tell a story.
So, yeah.
All right now. All right. So, all right. So with that being said, if I'm a business, or I am a business owner. So I'm a business owner, and I'm sitting down with you, and we're going over different things I can do as far as marketing with my business. So what are some things you would kind of do, without going, like, deep into your bag, because I know you, you do consulting, but just some basic tips that you would give business owners for them to help promote their business?
Basic tips to help promote their business. I would definitely tell, so my first tip is always take your accounts off of private. That's one of the biggest things. A lot of people operate with a sense of privacy. Once you become a business owner, I'm not telling you to throw that away. You can be modest, but that's step one. And actually, my step two is something that you did the other day. I saw that either maybe I didn't follow you or something, but you secured your name on social media. And that's important, because the business is the business and you are you, right? So you have the Freedom Podcast, you have the Freedom Train Podcast, and you have, you know, all of the followers and all the things that happen behind that. But Joseph Ward is Joseph Ward, and Joseph Ward can want to do, you know, a lawn care business later on in life. You know what I mean? Like, And that doesn't take away from the Freedom Train Podcast and what you're doing here, but it allows you to be versatile, right? Because I am, Bianca is more than just marketing. Bianca is more than just a girl with style. Bianca is more than exposure. She's all of them, right? So securing your name, like Joseph Ward or Bianca on social media, that's a big thing, just because later on in life you may want to pursue something different. Another tip that I would say is building an email list. That's important. Another thing that is important for businesses is to be consistent on social media. And when I say consistent, I don't mean like monthly. I mean like if you have a set schedule, like 2 times a week, it doesn't have to be every single day, but show up. Because if you don't show up, then you can't expect people to show up for you. And then another tip that I would say is basically like good branding. Showing up the same way every time is important, because people are already on reserve, like when you approach them to support you. So if you're inconsistent with your branding, then people already look at you like, maybe she doesn't have it together, so why should I give her my card information, you know? So just keep some level of consistency and quality within your brand.
Right.
I think those are good tips.
they are good tips, because, for one, it helps. Some of your tips help go into my next question, but also something – you talked about email marketing, and I think people underestimate email marketing.
They do.
So, social media is wonderful, but email marketing is really where it's at, because that's those are the people who you know rock with you because they gave you their email. And for me, like I have like over 400 people on my email list, but I'm learning to turn the people on my email list into customers. That's what I'm learning how to
do. Right.
It was put to me like, if social media was to shut down today, how would you connect with the people who follow you? And email and other ways. So that's what I'm glad you highlighted that email list.
Yeah, it's important. As we saw last year, I mean, Facebook crashed twice, or, you know, these things are, like, marketing is multifaceted. And right now everybody's focusing on social media marketing just because that's where, you know, all of our attention is. But at the end of the day, marketing is compiled of print, digital. You have different things that marketing go like that make up marketing. And so you should always expand and touch every aspect of marketing, not just social media marketing, which is important, which is very important. And it may be one of the most important, but there's also email marketing, and there's these brochures that maybe you want to make, or a business card, or a website, or SEO, or there's so many avenues that go into marketing that businesses should also be aware of besides social media marketing. So that's also important, like knowing the different areas.
Right. So speaking of social media marketing, though, because it is a medium that's often used, it's a powerful medium, a free medium, which can be, in some aspects, you would have to pay for, like, advertising and certain things. But social media has kind of put a twist on marketing and how businesses advertise themselves, how people advertise themselves. So, and that's one thing you do help people with is social media marketing.
Yeah.
So, from your standpoint, how has social media helped or hurt the marketing of businesses, and what is the best ways to use social media to promote your business?
With social media, I think that it has helped tremendously, right? That's obvious. So the barrier of entry to owning a business is like little to none at this point, right? If you have enough money to buy an LLC, get you a website, like you're in business, right? So with social media, it just allows people to access such large crowds with low effort. That's the best thing, because if you don't have to put too much into something to get a return on your investment, then, I mean, any investor knows that that's the goal. So social media to me is just like, I mean, it's the biggest platform in the world. I mean, the biggest community in the world. Facebook is you can reach people in, you know, Ghana if you want to. And so it instantly makes your brand an international brand, right? So it's a platform that allows you to be the best self that you can be if you put in the effort to do so. And I think that that's amazing, especially with all the new businesses that are coming up and all the businesses that were in the past. Like, it's a change in how they used to market businesses. And so you're just going to see the people who can adapt to change and, you know, can sustain that change long term. So I think social media has definitely helped. As far as like hurting marketing, this is a good thing and a bad thing. So like with social media, there's a saturation of people who say they do marketing, right? So everybody is a social media marketer right now, because if you've posted 5 pictures and you use a management software, now you can become a social media manager, right? So I think that in that sense, it kind of has watered down the profession a little bit. But it's also bringing light to the profession, because a lot of people didn't know that social media management was a thing, and that you know, marketing online is that important. So that's what I said. It's like a good thing and a bad thing. But another thing is that because, you know, everybody has a business and the barrier of entry is low, I mean, not everybody does good marketing. Not everybody is who they say they are. And so sometimes they have the most prettiest post or the most beautiful ad, and you click on it and you get scammed, right? So that's the only, like, negative that I would say as far as the negatives of, like, social media with marketing, for sure.
Okay. So as far as businesses in using social media, what are some of the better ways to use social media as a business owner, like for promotion? You know, in relation to everything that you just said about social media helping and hurting marketing.
Well, I think that if you are a business owner and you're using social media marketing, that you just have to make sure that you are consistent on the platforms that you choose. And I don't believe in choosing every single platform to be a part of, because I think that when you're inconsistent, it shows. But if you've never been there, then they can't blame you, right? So if you're not on the platform, then it's like, all right, they don't have Pinterest. But if you're on Pinterest and you got one post from 3 years ago, then they're just like, oh, who is this person, you know? So I think that business owners should do, you know, just evaluate their capacity and see what platforms they can really actually be consistent on. And it can be two platforms. It could be Facebook and Instagram. And maybe next year you expand to Twitter or Pinterest or YouTube or something like that. It's okay to not have all of those platforms. I also think that it's important that business owners make sure that their contact information is consistent throughout everything that they do. It's also important for you to evaluate the platform that you're using and look into your analytics and make sure that it even makes sense for you to be on that platform. And the reason why I say that is because I don't believe in wasting time. If you are marketing your business, the end goal is to make a sale. And so if you are never making a sale and you have been marketing your business for 3 years, then you need to evaluate what you're doing and why isn't it working. And it could be that the platform doesn't work for you, but it could also be that your marketing or your graphics or your product is just not what the market, what, you know, people want. That's a hard, like, self-check. Great ways. Every business owner at this point is a content producer. And we all have to create content. We all have to make something so that people can engage with or can know more about our product or know more about our business. And that's just a reality that a lot of people are going to have to come to, is that, yes, you have to create content. And that can be in video form, in picture form, or, infographics, memes. It's so many different ways to create content, but every business, it doesn't matter if you're a plumber, if you're a lawyer, or if you sell, you know, the newest makeup line, everybody has to create content.
Now that's true. I became an entrepreneur by creating content first with blogging, then writing books, then podcasting, and my YouTube channel started early as well. And so just being able to put out specific content that I want to teach, but then that also kind of led me to really finding my niche as far as podcasting or being in front of people, giving information the way I give it. I give information and learning to be comfortable with my personality and the way I present myself to people. And I agree with you. Once you understand all that, you know, presenting your content, however you present your content, whatever is best for you. But so as far as picking platforms, what do you think are some of the best platforms for entrepreneurs?
Well, it depends on your demographic. If you have a younger demographic, and younger, I mean, like, like under 40. If that's your demographic, then Instagram is your place. I would consider going into TikTok just because that's growing, and a lot of people are there. Millions of people are there. A lot of the younger crowd, as far as like the teenagers that are coming up, they're not using Facebook. They think it's archaic because their grandmother and their mother is on that platform. So they're not trying to be on there. Like, they're not trying to post anything on Facebook. So you'll rarely find somebody that's under 25 on Facebook. Right. So if you have an older crowd that is over 25 and up, then Facebook is a good platform for you. I enjoy Facebook, but my demographic is an older crowd that is looking to elevate their brand and things of that nature, so that makes sense for me. And LinkedIn is always important for every business owner. I don't care what your demographic is. LinkedIn is the only social media that is professionally made. It's made for the professional. So if you're not showing up as the professional in your niche or in your area of business, then, you know, you're really kind of lacking right there. So that's important for you to show up on LinkedIn for sure. And the thing about LinkedIn is that you don't necessarily have to be active all the time. But just make your profile, right, and just fill everything out so that if people do look you up, you are present. So TikTok is emerging and everybody's hearing about it. Snapchat is still there. I mean, it's important in the sense that, you know, there's still people on Snapchat. You could probably buy ads on Snapchat for a really low price and still probably get some kind of engagement. So it just depends on, but again, it depends on who your demographic is and who you are trying to reach. And if you're trying to reach everybody, then, you know, take it one platform at a time. I love Instagram. Right. I'm always on Instagram. Most people are always on Instagram. Instagram is like one of the fastest growing social media platforms. So if you want to start somewhere, start on Instagram.
My top three are YouTube right now. YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok are my top three. But I utilize Facebook and LinkedIn as well. So I'm on kind of like five of them. But like you were saying, it's not difficult. Just post, and it doesn't take a lot to interact a bit. Just make sure you're active on it, and you'll start to see your accounts grow.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you have to be active. That's the most important part. You have to be social.
I like the way you look at it and your approach to it, though, because it's sensible. It's very practical. So, I like
Thank
that.
You.
So, a creative station.
Yes.
You talked earlier about why you created a creative station. So now I want to kind of get more into, you know, you bragging about creative station. So I'm contemplating between a creative station and some other marketing agency or marketing professional that I can use. So how is creative station better or comparable to other marketing agencies, in your opinion?
Well, in my opinion, we are number one, so there's that.
Right, right.
But
that's what I was trying to get
to. That's just how you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
Well, a creative station was born to be a little bit different than most marketing agencies, actually. A creative station not only provides full service as far as, like, marketing products, such as social media marketing, website design, photography, videography, things of that nature, we also provide marketing classes. So we have classes that we teach throughout the year to help the business owner who may not be able to afford, you know, over $1,000 a month in marketing or, you know, able to put out or allocate that much money yet because they're a startup. So we provide classes to those business owners so that they can learn the steps that it takes to just move forward, right? which is important with being an entrepreneur, as we all know, because we have those days where, you know, you just don't want to do the things, and just moving one step forward is important. So I provide classes to people who are interested in marketing or interested in learning more. And sometimes people send their interns, or they'll send, you know, their marketing person just to get some updated information. So I pride myself in staying up to date on a lot of marketing information because I have to teach it to people. So I think that that's also a benefit of our agency, is that we stay up to date on, you know, what's trending, what's happening, what are people responding to, what's important. So that's another thing, is that I never want you to waste your money with a creative station. I want you to leave a creative station feeling like, you know, it was worth your while and it was worth your time. And so that's important to me, especially with quality control and things of that nature. So I think that those are things that Creative Station definitely brings to the table.
Now that takes over the table. There you go. Bring your own table to the party. But that's great, because you have to personalize what you do, but you also have to believe in what you do and how you bring it to people. Also, like, the quality of the products that you bring about. Because for me, my teaching is history. That's what I'm good at teaching. I'm good at teaching history. I'm good at teaching, like, say, sex prevention and things. So those are the things professionally that I've been able to do over the years. So it's just being able to take everything that I have, because I was having this conversation with some of my friends the other day. It's, as a historian, most of the historians that I've learned from that I admire are serious. Their personalities that they always presented was serious, so never really saw the humorous or another side of them. So in my mind, that was always the approach that you had to take as a historian if you wanted people to take you serious, is to have that serious demeanor. But in all actuality, that's not me most of the time.
And right, yeah, you're very silly.
Right, so if I'm able to do that and still give information, that makes everything flow better. And it was just me being able to become comfortable with that. So now that's why I definitely need to sit down with you, come up with some marketing strategies.
Yeah, for sure. Good. And that's another thing, is that we do offer, like, one-on-one consultations. And so that way that, you know, you can come in and maybe you can't afford, you know, to have me on retainer and have my guys on retainer, but maybe you can come in and afford to talk with me for an hour every month, and we, you know, strategize together so that eventually you do get to a point where you can, you know, outsource your marketing and focus on what you need to do. And that's the biggest thing, is that a lot of people are trying to do their own marketing, but you are not a marketing professional. You are, you know, a historian. You are a product developer. So I want you to focus on that and let me do my job so that we can work harmoniously, right? That's important for sure.
Well, but I'm glad you said that, because for somebody like me, that's something I need to hear, because I'm so used to doing everything, because in the past I've always had to do everything, and I know plenty more people like me, and a lot of entrepreneurs nowadays are like that. Starting with little to no resources, you have to do everything, but, you know, like you're saying, you have to build a team, you have to get to a point, and you have to build a team with people who are smarter than you in the areas that you're not great at.
Right.
And that helps you move forward. So, yeah, I'm glad you said that, because that's just like that kick in the butt for me. Like, hey, I'm trying to be, no, learn it, but if that's not your strength, allow somebody else to do it.
Right. I mean, no, there's not many successful entrepreneurs who have done it alone. Even the biggest of the big, you know, they have a full squad behind them, and that should, you know, give you a blueprint into how successful businesses run. You need a team. And as much as, like, you know, as entrepreneurs, we want to do everything ourselves to make sure everything's all right, like, and that's how I operated for a while, so much that when I first, like, when I first took interns on, I didn't know what to assign them to because I was like, I need to see everything and I need to do everything. And we can't operate in that space because it's just not, it's not conducive to us growing a business.
Right. You're right. You're definitely right. So I want to kind of shift the conversation a bit to style, fashion, beauty, and back to your blog, A Girl with Style.
Okay.
But I want to flip this question a bit. For you, what are the makings of a girl with style?
So the makings of a girl with style started off with the motto, First Love Yourself. The acronym is FLY, F-L-Y. So I just always thought that that was, like, the dopest acronym because it was, like, F-L-Y.
Right.
Well, first of all, I want to get it tattooed on myself, but that's another question. That's another discussion. so I've always, like, been fascinated with the acronym being F-L-Y. Like, you're fly, you look good, you know, you feel fly. Like, you know, the word fly just means, like, just the next level. But also it stands for first loving yourself. And that always kind of stood out to me. And I was in the time that I started A Girl with Style, I was in, I call it a series of unfortunate events. You know, when that time in your life when it's just like nothing seems to be going right. So you have to create some kind of change in your life. And that's where A Girl with Style was birthed. And I was really in a spot where I wanted to make sure that I put myself first and that I loved what I was doing. And I wanted everybody to feel that way. So I started A Girl with Style because I thought that, like, it was difficult for me to see myself. I'm a plus-size girl, and I've always been plus-size, but I've never really been insecure. And I remember when I started really, like, posting on social media and, like, showing everybody my style and things of that nature, I remember specifically this young girl reached out to me and she said that your confidence is making me move forward and love myself. And that just touched my heart because I'm like, girl, I'm just posting pictures of me and my outfits. Like, I'm not even, you know, I'm not trying to change the world, but it's just like she didn't see herself in everyday pictures. She didn't see herself in the commercial that's on the television. And I felt like, okay, well, if I can create a platform where every woman, not just the plus size girl or the African American girl or the Haitian girl or the, you know, Spanish girl could see themselves, but, like, everybody, like, why can't we just highlight everything and everybody? And so that's why I called it A Girl with Style, because it's such a general name that it can be adapted to any woman.
Right. Now that's real cool, because,
thank
like
you
were saying, the foundation of A Girl with Style starts with self-love. So
yeah.
Now that's amazing. Well, whether you intended to do it or not, you are teaching people to love themselves. When I was looking through your website the other day, that's one of the themes that I got from A Girl with Style in its totality, even if that's something that you may or may not have consciously worked toward, but that's what I picked up going through the different, the various pages of the website and reading through the information is you, for some reason, you found a way to love yourself. You've always loved yourself. And now the way you present yourself is, I guess it's conducive to people kind of paying attention, reading through your information, and being able to say, okay, if she can love herself, then hell, I can love myself. So that's kudos to you. You know, just being yourself. So that's cool.
So, thank you.
So the content that you write, the content that you present on The Girl with Style, what does it include?
So it varies. When I started, it started just with style, with fashion. But I noticed, like, there's areas of, I guess, advertisement to women that, you know, we don't show up. And it was within beauty and health and lifestyle and travel and motivation. And we just, you know, not every woman is the face of those things. So I definitely had, like, broken down the areas of a girl with style to lifestyle, fashion, health, beauty, and motivation. And so that's what we try to focus on with our community. And we do that by, like, going to fashion shows, or we'll share a style tip, or we'll share some, like, vegan recipes, or, you know, highlight a business owner and things like that. So that's how we, you know, communicate with our audience.
That's cool. Because that's how I first became acquainted with you, was through a girl with style. Because really it was like one of the very first Working Class Wednesdays that I've gone to, and you were hosting, just the way you kind of presented yourself. But that also kind of leads into our next question with you. The way you present yourself, the way you carry yourself, the way you think about yourself, your self-love. Now, on your website, you described yourself as a nerd who used to be a tomboy. But for me and for a lot of people, women who would be described as nerds and tomboys don't look like you.
But they just, do, you know, though.
And you're right. And see, that's the flip side of it is they don't look like you, but they do, because we're talking about stereotypes as well.
Right.
So, you know, I'm born in 84, so when I think about tomboys, I think about the girl in the Little Giants movie who playing football and spitting and running through the woods and all dirty and stuff.
That was me.
You know, but at the same time, it's also love and basketball. You know, that I am a tomboy, but I'm a lady as well. And
right.
That's how you do it. But you do it your way, and you are fly as hell to me, just by the way. I do think you are. I think you are very fly. I love the way you carry yourself. I just love the way. Like, you just, like, when you be walking, like, you just be floating on clouds and stuff, because just, like, your self-love for yourself is there. It is. It's just real cool and refreshing to see people, period, who have that confidence within themselves. And when we see it, we like to, you know, let people know, I see you. Like, I'm not just looking, but I really do see you, and your confidence is just exploding all over the place. So,
appreciate that.
Now, you say you've always loved yourself and you've always had that confidence, but how did that confidence build, or how did that confidence strengthen over time? And the second part of this is, for you, why is it important for you to share your story and your gains?
Gotcha. So my love for self started when I was young. Which I just pray that, you know, for everyone that starts, that's when it starts. But unfortunately, that's not the case sometimes. And I don't know. Well, like, my mother, she never pushed anything on me. Like, she would let me do my thing within boundaries, you know. So I was able to try a lot of different things until I found what I liked. And so I think that's where I found my self-love, is because I was able to really figure out who I was at an early age. My mother was a hairdresser. She was an entrepreneur. She owned her business for 10 years in Brooklyn, New York. And so that's where I grew up. So I grew up in a really busy city. And I saw a lot of things. I was an adult kid by, like, you know, I was riding the subway alone by 11.
Right.
And that's, like, unheard of now. Well, I mean, like, unheard of, like, we live in Florida, so that's, like, you know,
right.
People don't even let the kids stay at home. So I saw a meme the other day. This is completely off topic, but I saw a meme the other day. It was like, we didn't have babysitters growing up. We just our mother just told us to lock the door and don't go outside.
There you go.
Like,
don't let nobody in.
Right. And so that's how I grew up. And when Jehovah's Witness was at the door, we just acted like we weren't home. just because, you know, it was only the kids at the house.
Right.
But yeah, so that's how I grew up. I mean, I was my eyes were open to a lot when I was younger. I saw, you know, from Greenwich Village to downtown Brooklyn to Queens to all the people who run between all of those sectors. I saw a lot. I saw museums. I was at gardens. I was tap dancing. I sang. I did all the things. I played basketball. I swam. Like, I did, my mother let me do everything until I figured out, like, hey, these are the things. Like, I was in gymnastics, was horrible at gymnastics. And, but she still let me try it. She still let me do it. And if I loved it, she continued to let me go to it, you know? And so that's where I think I found my self-love, because I never felt like I was confined into anything in particular. And I always felt like I could do anything. And so that's what kind of radiated within me. And I think that's what also pillared me into, like, leadership positions, because my mother, she is a leader in her own right, and I guess, you know, subconsciously I was trying to mimic that. And on top of me finding out who I am early on in life, I mean, she just made, like, a lethal combination. So that's,
right.
I guess that's how I am,
right.
Why I am the way I am today. But the reason why being a nerd and being a tomboy is so big into my story is because a lot of people like yourself, like, you met me in knowing that I did, like, this fashion blog and I love fashion and things of that nature. But then when I tell them I have a master's in public health, they're like, what? You know, so I'm like, yeah, I read books, you know, like, so I'm a big nerd. I love to read. I'm the friend that wants to go to the museum when we're out of town.
Me too.
It's just, yeah, like, that's what it's like. I was in New York. Like, I just came back from New York on Thursday, and my cousin, we were looking for something to do. I was like, y'all want to go to a museum? And she was looking at me like, girl, no.
I would have been like, yes, let's do this. Let's see if we can hit by two of them.
Right. That's what excites me. And I stumbled, like, 2 years ago. I went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, and it's like this huge building in Manhattan, and it took me, I think I was in there for 4 hours, and I only got to half of it. Like,
right.
It's huge. It's like one of the biggest museums. Anyway, but the reason why, and this is who I am, right? But the reason why my story is important is because, like you said, the tomboy doesn't look like me, but it is me, right? And there's so many different facets of a person. And like I said earlier, Bianca is not just marketing. Bianca is fashion. Bianca is music, because I grew up singing and I went to performing arts high school, and we sang at Disney and we did all those things. So I have so many facets of who I am, and I love every one of them equally, that I think it's important for people to know that it is okay for you to be all of the things. Like, you don't have to be just Joseph the historian. You could be Joseph the person who loves museums and the loves to go play soccer. You know, you can be all of those people. And I think that it's important that, especially with the Black community, that we just let people know that it's all right to be who you are, because we're just so stuck in, like, following what society has put in front of us. And like I said, that's why Girl With Style was born, because I didn't want girls to think that they had to just be the tomboy. Like, you can be, if you like pink, try it too, you know, like, get, maybe you got pink sneakers. I have a closet full of heels and a closet full of sneakers at the same time. So, that's why I think it's important. And I think marketing is so important, because it, you can't really have a business without doing marketing. And I think that because we came from oppression, and we came from a time where our parents were just trying to hustle to make it, and now we're talking a totally different dialect, right? We are talking about ownership, and we're talking about increase, and we're talking about generational wealth, which is a discussion that we had lack of just 20, 30 years ago. And so with that means that we also have a lack of information. We also have a lack of education. And so when we have ownership and when we get these businesses, we don't know that we need the team and we need the marketing person to give us the vision or help us execute that vision. We don't know that we need that accountant. We don't know that we need that payroll specialist or that HR professional to come in and help us level our business to these Fortune 500s that have been around for multi-generations. And so that's why I tell, like, if you've been on my social media, that's why I make the informational videos about
right.
the basics of marketing, because it's important that people understand why this is so important, because we may not have known that this is a part of being a business owner.
Yeah, and like I said, I love those videos where you give your tips, because I definitely learned from those, and it's just all around, everything that you bring to the table is refreshing. So I definitely support what you do. So you found a way, though, to bring everything that you, like all your superpowers to the table, basically. You found a way to do that. And exposure. And exposure is an artistic collaboration. So for those who know nothing about exposure, can you go into more detail about the event? And what and just overall what people experience at Exposure.
So Exposure is like another one of my babies. I just keep creating these things, and I'm like, I'm thinking that I'm creating things that are small, and they just overly perform. And Exposure is just like every other brand that I've created. It started off as like just a thought. So Exposure is an artistic collaboration where people come and they experience everything in art, like not just a painter or a sculptor or whatever, but you experience art in a collaborative form where all artists are working on one in kind of in just one direction. So we have live painting, we have fashion, we have music, we have performances. And then we also try to always include some kind of food, because culinary art is just as equally an art. And then we try to have some kind of, like, just every different versatile, like, component of art represented at the event. The reason why Exposure is so important to me is because my background, like I said, is growing up in a performing arts high school. Shout out to OCSA in Kissimmee, Florida. So I went to, like, literally, like how Glee is, that was my high school.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So yeah, like that's literally, like, we had on Wednesdays, which is what Exposure was mimicked behind, on Wednesdays at my high school, we would have half days, right? So we would get out of class at around like 12-something, and for the rest of the day, we would have what we called recital. And so recital was basically whichever art department time to present whatever they've been working on. So if it was the drama department on a play, or if it was the orchestra on a symphony, or if it was the tech crew showing us lights, or if it was the choir department performing, you know, Disney songs or whatever we were performing, because we did so many songs. So I, as a young person in high school, saw how much art was, like, saw people who actually prioritized art, but also loved art so much that they made this school that people who had creative minds can attend.
Right.
And so that has always been like a huge part of me. And I had a mentor that lived here and that she used to work at FAMU, and she was an artist. She created, she handmade leather purses, and I never met anybody that's made a leather purse in their life. And if you know somebody, I don't know many people who knows someone who makes leather purses.
Right.
So when I met this lady, I was fascinated, and I was like, what? Like, you make leather purses? Like, who does that, right? And so I started, like, talking to her because the fashion girl in me was like, how do I get one? Where's your shop? You know, da-da-da-da. And she, like, let me know that she used to do, like, PR for FAMU. Like, she was – and I was like, PR? Now you make purses? Like, who are you, lady? Like, that's like two totally different things. And so I get exposed to this woman who is, like, basically the older version of me, because I'm, like, marketing, but I also love fashion and I also love music. And so we get to chopping it up and we start talking on how we can collaborate and how we can work. And she's just like, Bianca, you know, I know you can create an event for us to collaborate on. And the first word that came to my mind was exposure, because exposure is not only a collaboration of art, but it is also a platform where the people who are associated with get my marketing, like get me on the back end trying to promote them, trying to put them in the light, like trying to get the information into the paper, but also like highlighting their brand. So that's why we called it exposure, because it's a collaboration, but it's also a platform to basically show the world, or show Tallahassee for now, you know, who you are and what you do.
Right.
That was a long answer.
Nah, that's a good answer. You got me up here daydreaming, and not daydreaming like I'm not listening, but I'm just forming pictures in my head as you're talking. Because first thing is, I wish I would have went to your high school, or I wish I would have, when I was in high school, for us, it was sports.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we always, me and my friends, we were always creative. We were always silly. We were the ones, you know, running around school doing crazy stuff, like singing, dancing, all types of stuff. But it was never, the creative side was never cultivated, really. It was, we do sports, like it was sports or band, and I couldn't play instruments, but I could play sports because I've always played it, but I've always had the creative side. And then so I'm just sitting here thinking about that, but also just picturing you at school and you all performing and then you meeting the lady and you all creating everything. It's just, it's amazing what happens when collaboration comes together, but also when talents are cultivated, because where you are now, and you just presenting all of your talents to the world, it's amazing. So everybody listening, make sure you all support. So I do want to ask this question before we get to our last question. What was the biggest hurdle you've had to overcome thus far? How did you overcome that hurdle, and what lesson did you learn going through and overcoming your adversity?
Okay, so the biggest hurdle, well, I'm a black woman in America, so there's that. So that's self-explanatory, but like breaking that down, I think that one of my biggest hurdles, which I actually turned into, I guess this would, like, totally answer the question, is, like, I turned this hurdle into a superpower, but the hurdle was being underestimated. And as a black woman in America, like, sometimes we speak on to deaf ears, right? Like, sometimes when we say something, it's just like, oh, that's the angry girl over there, or she doesn't know what she's talking about. So I'm always underestimated, and sometimes when I say things, or if I say that I'm going to do something, most people don't don't even take the time to acknowledge that I have said what I just said. And then I come out the gate and I'm like, bomb, like this is what I said that I was going to do. And they're like, yo, what is, like, who told you you could do that? Why are you doing this? What is happening? How can I be a part of it? And it's like too late now, right? So, so I feel like that's one of the biggest hurdles that I've overcome. Another big hurdle that I would say is changing my mindset. As I'm like, so I'm a rarity. Like I'm a full-time entrepreneur. And that in itself, like entrepreneurship is rare. And then full-time entrepreneur is like, and like super rare. Right. So most people have, like, a side hustle, and when I say side hustle, I mean their 9-to-5 is, like, their side hustle because, yeah, really, at the 9-to-5, they're working on, you know, whatever. So finding my footing as far as, like, what does a full-time entrepreneur do every day, all day? like, figuring out how to manage myself. And not just sleep all day because, I mean, shoot, I have all my time, so I can do whatever. That was one of the biggest hurdles, is, like, changing and shifting my mindset to be consistent and be of quality, not just within business, but just, like, as an overall person, because it's so easy to take advantage of your time, and I was. And I would realize, like, you know, things weren't getting done or I was lacking and I had all day to do them. So that was, right. I think, one of the biggest hurdles. How did I overcome that? I got a accountability partner. I made sure that I mapped out my day. I write things down now, which is like rare for me. I have a planner. I have goals, like weekly goals, monthly goals, yearly goals that I look to frequently. And I've created a routine that really I know that I can go back to. So I travel a lot. And so a routine is important for me because it gives me a sense of normalcy when I come back to my space, and I know, like, oh, in the morning you do this, and, you know, at 9 o'clock you need to be here, and at 10 o'clock this is what you need to be doing. So that's helped a lot as far as like overcoming that. And I think the reason why I feel like it's kind of an adversity is because we're not taught these things. We don't know what a CEO does from 9 to 5 p.m. Like, we don't know how it is to operate a multi-million dollar business. We don't know how to operate in this space. This space is new to a lot of African Americans. This space is new to a lot of entrepreneurs. And so I'm in a space where I'm building without a handbook. And so, yeah, I can Google it and I can find the things, but at the end of the day, if I didn't apply it to my real life and what that looks like on a daily basis, then, you know, it's not helpful. So I think that, like, really looking into myself and trying to give myself discipline was one of the biggest things right. that I've overcome.
Yes. Oh, man. Discipline. So how do you find time to relax and chill without feeling guilty? Or does that happen?
Oh, I feel guilty all the time. Like, so sadly, that's like, I feel guilty. Sadly, my aunt passed recently, and I was actually, so this is like really new, like I was in Atlanta because my notion and my goal this year is to do business in different cities other than Tallahassee. So I packed up my bags and I went to Atlanta for what I thought was going to be 2 weeks. While I was there, my aunt passed away, and I had to take an emergency flight into Pennsylvania. So in that time, business pretty much, like, stopped. Like, not stopped, but, like, my momentum kind of was down. I was going to networking events, you know, But that made sense, like, because, you know, family first and things were happening that required you to stop. And but in that time, I was feeling guilty. Like, I was feeling like, why would I stop working, like, just beating myself up. And I honestly, I have really good friends. So, like, my best friend, I talked to her, and she was like, Bianca, like, life is happening right now, and it's okay. Yeah. And I was like, yeah you're right. Like, yeah, she was like, when you go That's back true. To it, everything will be there, and it'll be waiting for you. Don't overthink it. Like, don't feel bad for living. Like, you had to be there for your family. You wanted to be there for your family. It's not that you had to. You wanted to be there. So be that person while you're there, and, you know, let that be. And so that's important to most entrepreneurs, because we're so hard on ourselves, and we want to be, you know, number one, or we want to, you know, make our business thrive. But we also have to, you know, take the time and be able to not be perfect. And so having fun, but aside from that, on like a lighter note, having fun for me is like important, like so important, Joseph. Like, I have to have fun. So me finding time to have fun is not hard, because it's something that I have to do.
Right.
So if I, like, going out or going to a museum or going to a different city or a party or just a night out with drinks or something, I find time to do it. It's a requirement for me, or I'd go nuts. I'd really go crazy. So that's not hard for me. But the guilt part is a thing, for sure. And I'm trying to do better with it, but it is what it is.
Why do you think we feel guilty? Because I do it all the time, even though there are days where I'm just like, I'm tired. I know I did a lot of work. I'm just lay here and watching a couple movies.
No. Mm-hmm.
I get to work a little later, and then I may not get to work that day, but then, dang, I'm behind on this. But why do you think, in your opinion, you or others would feel guilty? Did you think it's the way we were taught to be entrepreneurs? Or?
I think it's a couple of things. Well, first, I feel that we feel guilty because we were taught to be great. So even if, you know, you didn't have the person that was running behind you for, like, your schoolwork or anything like that, you had the teacher that was like, why are you doing this? Like, you need to be better. We're always taught to be better. And so I feel like we feel guilty because we feel like we're in lack of. And then that goes into my second point. We're playing catch up, right?
Yeah.
Because, like I said, we didn't have this information, and thank God for the internet. You could Google most of the things that you need to know, or you can go to and buy a book or buy a course online or something like that. But really, the majority of us are trying to just figure it out every single day. And so because it takes us so long to try to figure things out, we're also, like, trying to apply what we just figured out. And then if we don't apply it, we feel like we're falling behind. Like, what about my generation? What about my insurance? What about this? Like, there's so many aspects of life that we have to think of, and people didn't tell us adulting was like this. But they surely didn't tell us adulting was like this, okay? Like, where's the handbook? Where's the manual? And, you know, so we're entrepreneurs out here in this space just trying to play catch up. And then on top of that, most of us are working with limited time. Like, we have that 9-to-5 because we have to have the bills, and we have to have the insurance, and we have to have, you know, food on the table. That's also important. But then once we get off at 5, we maybe take an hour to eat and then go back into working a whole other full-time job, trying to, like, get out of the rat race. And then we don't acknowledge when we are tired. So then it's just like a vicious cycle. And I think that's the biggest reason why we have guilt, because we really just want to be great. And we don't have all the information on how to be great. So we're just trying to do our best. And when we don't do the things, we feel bad about it.
Yeah, I agree. Playing catch up is hard, especially when you learn information late. It's hard. We're playing catch up as a race. You're playing catch up as an individual, all those different things. And you're just thinking and thinking, and sometimes you overthink things to a point to where you're just driving yourself crazy. But you have to realize that the work that you have put in is going to pay off, so you can rest at times.
Yeah. And we also have to realize that the work that we do is an accumulation. So, like, that one day that you didn't do work is okay, because it's like you can still accumulate the points. Like, you can go to the next day and still do the work.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. So we're down to our final question. Because I could have you on here talking all day, but we're down to our final question. We ask this question to all of our guests. So if you were the all-powerful ruler of Black America, what would you change and what would your message to the people be?
So I think I would just stick to my main thing is being fly, like, first, love yourself. That's the biggest thing that I would change is because we're in a society where we're taught that the, you know, exotic or the Caucasian or whatever race is, like, the go-to when, you know, sometimes they try to adapt our culture and make it their own.
Right.
So that's the biggest thing that I would change is, like, the mindset of Black people to love themselves, to always look in and know that, like, you're beautiful, you're handsome, you are a king, you are a queen, you can accomplish anything. And that would be my message, just to love yourself. And I think that, honestly, God put us on this planet to do that. And because I feel like love, at the end of the day, is one of the most amazing, intoxicating feelings ever. And
right.
When you feel it, you just know, right? Like, most people, even men, you guys feel it too, you know, as much as people say you don't. But but no, I just think that it's like our community just has to love ourselves and see ourselves in others. Because loving yourself also means loving your community. And sometimes we bash each other, or sometimes we hate on each other, or don't want to help each other elevate. And I think that within our community, that's where our strength is. So I would just say, be fly, man, be fly.
First, love yourself. No, I like that. You need to trademark that.
It's not mine. I don't know where it came from. I think I saw it on Pinterest or something like that.
Okay.
But I could.
I was going to say, because, shoot, now that's great, but it's a great message, a great acronym. An acronym and how it is presented across First Loving Yourself. But what I love about this question is everybody, believe it or not, I can't even remember how many interviews we've done over the years, but everybody answers that question differently. And that's what I love about it, is the uniqueness in what we all bring to the table, as people and just as individuals in our daily lives. So thank you for giving me some of your time so we can talk about you and have you on this platform and interview you. But before we close out, can you give your website, social medias, email, whatever it is, the best ways for people to contact you and support you?
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for having me on this podcast. I know we've been talking about it for a while, so I'm excited to finally be on here. So if you guys are interested in supporting me, my Instagram is Bianca. My last name is Belabre, Belabre. You guys feel free to follow me. I would love, and I would follow you back for sure. And then I have a creative station, which is acreativestation.com, or a creative station on any social media platform. And then my blog, as we mentioned, A Girl With Style, that's the same thing, agirlwithstyle.com, or A Girl With Style on any social media platform. And so I would love to see your love and support, and I will return it. But, yeah, that's where you guys can find me.
Yes. So, once again, thank you. We're not going to take up too much more of your time, but thank you once again. I enjoyed this conversation.
Me too.
Definitely be looking forward to doing business with you and learning more about marketing. And hopefully this interview inspires more people to check out your services. So thank
awesome.
You again.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You have a good night as well. Right. Yes, 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 people. So let me say it right this time because I thought I was saying it right, but I wasn't. Give it up once again for the one, the only, the incredible Miss Bianca Bilal. The mind behind exposure, the mind behind A Girl With Style, the mind behind the creative station, A Creative Station. So y'all make sure y'all check her out. Support, support, support. And you know how we do, man. It's Freedom Train podcast series right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. I want to give a shout-out to the whole network, Patrick Irvin, to Shelby Davis, to Queen Candace, to Nick, myself, Tim, to Shakar Jenkins for all your behind-the-scenes work. Everybody who came together who made this live podcast a success, all of our performers, Ms. Dice, Mike Jack Music, once again, Enoch, myself, Temper, everybody who showed up in the building. We had a great time. It was fun. You know, I wild out. And we're going to have some audio things coming for y'all soon. So stay tuned, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Remember, we on all podcast platforms, so you can listen to us there. And we out here, man. We out here doing our thing, making it happen, loving life, and just doing what we do. I found my passion in life. And one of my passions is just podcasting, going out here, make sure I use my platform to first display people like Bianca and our other guests who do great things in the community, but also to be a bridge between resources in the community. So with that being said, I am Joseph Ward. This here is the Freedom Train Podcast Series.